Welcome to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited this week to be here with Kevin Coleman, Weber's Head Master Griller.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
He's something special, huh?
Is it okay to have like a man crush thing going on
here? He's got a title.
He's also a smoke master, a pit master, a grill master, a world record holder, a barbecue ninja, a barbecue whisperer, and a master of burgers. And I think he's eaten a few of them. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kevin.
How we doing? Thanks for having us.
Oh my gosh, we're so glad to have you on the show. We kind of feel, I don't know, a little bit awkward and embarrassed because we're just like not up to par with your grilling skills.
Stephanie and I spent like the first 15 years of our marriage wanting a Weber grill and cheaping out and not getting one. And then finally, when we bought one, we were like, okay, I get it now.
Oh,
I get the difference.
This is why they cost more.
And now we own 9 of them.
Well, that's good. We appreciate that. That helps me continue to work at Weber. So thank you for single-handedly keeping me in a job.
Right. Like, so we're kind of like your sponsor in a way, Kevin.
Very much so. You are contributing to my delinquency. So thank you.
And today they just released all these new colors on the Master Touch, but I'm not going to go into
all
that.
All right. Now,
okay. Now, Kevin, tell us about your job as the head master griller at Weber. Like, what is it that you do in a day's work?
It kind of depends on if I'm in the Chicagoland area or if I'm around the globe, spreading that barbecue love through education, experiences, PR stuff. I mean, we get to do a lot of great things for Weber. I think the most important piece of that is we take the barbecue knowledge that we have and infuse that into other people so they can have the same amount of success or more success in front of a barbecue grill, and they can truly be that backyard grill master that their families appreciate.
So you were just kind of doing that just recently. We were chatting back and forth and trying to schedule as you were on your way back from a big grilling event in Napa. What happened there?
Yeah, so we were just out with Sutter Homes Build a Better Burger. So for any of the listeners out there, it's a really cool competition. Sutter Home puts on a barbecue comp that the winners go home with $25,000. So you design your recipe, you turn it into them. There's some regional things, and then they have an expense trip out to Napa Valley, and then we got to judge. So it was a fantastic experience. It's the third time I've been out there. I actually get to go back out in October and judge again for the final. So it's really exciting. They've been a great partner over the years. And what's better than being out in Napa Valley enjoying a fantastic burger with a lot of wine?
Right.
Not many opportunities better than that.
I'm thinking I don't care about competing in the burger contest. I don't care about the $25,000. I want to be a judge judging the best burger in that lineup. That seems to me to be the best part.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The way that, which ironically, it's kind of funny, and this goes into more of the barbecue teaching. So back in the day, we used to do a Weber Chill and Grill with Better Homes and Garden down by Lake Michigan, and we did it for 2 years. Well, I didn't realize it, so the winner this year, unbeknownst to me, came up to me, and she was like, hey, Kevin, you know, you probably might not remember, but back when you used to hold the Better Homes and Garden Chill and Grill down by Lake Michigan, I took your burger class there and, you know, watched all your videos and everything, and I was just like, well, that makes complete sense. She's my prize student.
And then she won.
So
oh, that's such a nice story.
The student becomes the master.
So everybody can learn and everybody can be taught. And that's part of the job that we get to do for Weber is try to inspire and educate people on how to grill better.
And Kevin, you're going to hook us up with an awesome giveaway here. So Weber and Kevin are going to give away to one of our listeners or Instagram followers a Weber Q1200, which is the bomb portable grill for the campground, an iGrill to make sure you kind of cook your meat to perfection, and a burger press. And I'm not good at math, but I think all that adds up to
over
$300 of prizes.
Yeah, that's more than your spending allowance for life.
I know. And so you're going to – so those of you listening, if you want to win that prize pack, you need to go over to Instagram this week when the podcast drops, the week leading up to Memorial Day, and we'll put up a post. We'll have all the information there on how you can get in it to win it. But now it's time for Kevin to give us tips for making perfect burgers at the campground. And Kevin, could you just start by giving us some basics on getting your grill ready, as simple as it seems? Because I didn't used to do this part right.
Well, there's a lot of people that forget that they actually have to maintain their grills periodically. You just can't cook on them and think that the barbecue fairies are going to come in and clean them up at night when you put them away. So good thing to do when you're, especially with camping. I know now people are getting more out on the road with spring and summer hitting, where they might have packed away their grill for the wintertime and spring, and now they're taking it out. So you always want to, you know, open the lid, take the grates out, look on the inside, clean any excess debris inside out. You know, what's nice is we always recommend getting a brand new stainless steel bristle brush every year. So what I'll do with the old ones is I'll use the one from the previous year to scrape all the excess debris out of the grill. And then I like to start it up just to make sure everything's working properly. And it's great for people for camping because you want to do this before you actually leave. And I know it's probably like, yeah, of course you do. Most people probably do, but a lot of people sometimes forget. And if there's something wrong with the regulator or something's wrong on the inside, at least you've figured it out before you're actually at the campsite trying to cook your burgers or whatever for your family, and you run into some problems.
All right. Now, it's a beautiful night at the campground. It's time to start getting everything ready. How about preheating the grill? How should we do that?
Yeah, so that's actually the most important tip that I can give you for barbecuing. It sets the tone for anything that you're going to grill. If you don't preheat the grill properly, everything will start to completely fall apart for you. So what I like to do is, if I'm going to be cooking burgers, and I know that's about a 425 to 450 degree temperature, I'll preheat the grill on about medium to medium high. And that will give me that perfect temperature for grilling the burgers, nice caramelization and crust on the outside, perfectly well done. Not well done, but I'm more of a medium guy on the inside. And, you know, the problem is if people preheat the grills too much or they cook at too high a temperature, you have a chance of burning the outside of your food, undercooking the inside of your food. And it's definitely something we don't want to do for the people that we love, unless you really don't. And then you could kind of screw
this up. Would be a nice way to go.
You just described the first 35 years of my grilling life. I've only now redeemed myself as I've moved into my early 40s.
Honey, you make a mean smash burger now. The boys are very.
I'm just saying,
you've been perfecting your art. It's okay. Now, this is your next step to work on here. Now, Kevin, if you are making the perfect burger, what kind of meat do you get? I know that this is a little controversial, but what do you like?
I don't really think that there's any controversy when we're going to be grilling. I think that's the problem, is everybody likes that. But most important, if we're all outside cooking, it's better to be way more inclusive. I prefer my 80-20 mix. I actually need a little bit of that fat in there that mm-hmm. gives us all that flavor and moisture that we're cooking. But for some people that like it a little more lean, you can go 90-10. That would probably be the highest I would. But there's some ways that you can add moisture and flavor back into the burgers and bring back some of that moistness before drying them out when you're cooking.
All right, how about experimenting with like some different meat combinations and maybe getting even a little bit more creative with what's in the burger?
Well, see, now you're actually like trying to bait me into telling you my perfect blend, which, you know,
are you going to do it
for you guys?
Yes! Because you're nice,
and you have 9 Webers and you keep me at a job, I will share with you my blend. So what I'll do is I'll go to my butcher, and there's two parts of a brisket. One's the two muscles, one's the flat and one's the point. Point's highly marbled, the flat is very lean. So what I'll have him do is take the top portion of the flat off, a little bit of the fat. I'll have him grind that in. It's very lean, so there's not much fat to it. And then I'll have him take 20% of raw bacon and grind that in, and that's my patty. So we'll do a brisket bacon mix, and it's absolutely out of this world.
When you walk into your butcher, everybody's like, Kevin, like, right? It's like Norm walking into Cheers. It's gotta be.
Well, it's you know what's hard is we take a lot of meat with us on the planes too. So the TSA agents, it's very much like Norm. So I get stopped by them all the time. And then instead of like, hey, last week we were doing pork shoulder, we were taking out to a place, and Kev, do you like bone in and boneless? And then what kind of rub do you put? I'm like, guys, I got to catch a plane. This is not like grilling school sitting outside the TSA agent. So when we go into the butcher shops, there's a lot locally that we use. My butcher, Ruben, we always talk. The hard part is when you walk in with a Weber shirt, everybody's kind of like wondering, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden people start asking questions. So what normally takes me 15 minutes takes me about 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh my gosh. You're like there's the doctor, right? Gets all the health questions. The lawyer gets all the law questions and you get all the grilling questions.
And I'm an English teacher and nobody asks me any
questions. Nobody asks you that. Nobody wants to know what you're reading, Jar.
That you do. You get hit up for grilling stuff all the time. That's a window into your life.
It's pretty special. Even when we're walking, like there's our local grocery store and meat department, we'll be walking around the grocery store and people will notice me and be like, "Hey, Kev, you know, I'm going to be cooking this weekend. What do you think?" And it's always fun because my girls are just like, "Oh, Dad, not again. We got to get going." And, you know, and I enjoy it so much because it brings so much joy to people. I think that's the most important part of what we do for Weber is we constantly are engaging with consumers, constantly giving feedback, constantly trying to help them grill better, because there's nothing better for a father, a mother to be outside cooking for their family and doing it really well. There's a lot to be said with that. And so the more that we can help with that, and the more we can educate people on doing that, the world's going to be a better place.
You guys are great at education, but I'm picturing you in a disguise when you go to the butcher shop.
Yeah, he's got the little glasses with the nose mustache on.
All right, let's talk. Right. So the grills, we're preheating the grill. Let's talk seasoning the burgers. What are your tips?
Yeah, so I'm a big, and I've learned, you know, going to Napa a bunch of times, working with some of the best cooks and pit masters in the world and chefs, I've got some great tips to share. One, I like seasoning the outside of the burger with traditional seasoning, your salt, your pepper, your granulated garlic, paprika, if you'd like. I like to do that because when the burger hits the grate, that reaction, that chemical reaction with the meat along with the seasoning you put on it gives it a lot of that great flavor. That's why people love smash burgers so much, because you get coverage with all that seasoning on there. So I like to get seasoning on the outside. Now, ingredients like onions and ketchup, barbecue sauce, red wine, or white wine if you're using turkey, all those things I like to mix inside the patty. And so I won't season it with the ingredients until after the burger is completely blended. And that's the other thing too. Mm-hmm. For people, it's important that you use a spoon and use a bowl when you're mixing your ingredients, right? Because what can happen is when your hands start to mix all the ingredients, it starts to activate the fat. Well, if that starts to pull and starts to heat up, it starts to pull the burger away and the meat away. So if you ever notice that you start having cracks and things in your burgers, that's one reason why it was happening. So I'll use a spoon to mix the stuff thoroughly. I'll make my patties out of it, either using a burger press or measuring it out by hand, and then I'll season the outside and away you go to the grill.
I love that. I'm really like thinking that I'm going to love this burger when we make it, because we will make this burger that you're recommending, because I love that classic salt, pepper, garlic, paprika.
Like, Stephanie doesn't like it when I buy
Jeremy
all these seasoning
tries to get
blends.
Fancy with these seasoning. It drives me crazy, because I'm like, I have been living my whole life eating the best burger that's like that really deliciously seasoned, like salt and pepper.
And I've learned that with steak. Like, now for me, steak is just salt and pepper, but with burgers, I'm still buying all these blends. So next time I'll go simple. We'll see how it comes out.
He doesn't listen to me, Kevin. I have to have people on the show to tell him
what's
what.
You're not Weber's headmaster griller.
I have a magic power that men actually listen to me and they actually like will do what I tell them, which is kind of amazing in this world, because it's really hard to have that skill set. But
yeah, you know, Use it wisely, Kevin.
That's exactly right. And you know, one thing that you can look at for burgers, even with your steak, just a tip, is when we do our our steak blend, we use four different grinds of pepper. We use a fine, coarse, extra coarse, and cracked. And the reason why is because the extra coarse and cracked are actually big enough pieces that the fat starts to absorb into the pepper and really start bringing out the flavor. It also helps with a nice crust to your steak. So that's one thing that you can do, even with your burgers, is try to, you know, play with different grinds, because they affect your palate differently, but they also help build a crust for the outside of your steak or burger.
Blowing my mind. Now let's talk like shaping the burgers. We're getting the burgers ready. It's almost time to put them on the grill. What are some basic tips there?
Yeah, this is another consistency thing. And I'm one of these guys that, like, I'm colorblind, so it's really hard for me to tell when things are done. So temperature, time are huge for me. So if I can get a burger press, which is fantastic that we're going to be giving one of those away, it'll form a quarter pound patty for somebody, or you flip the dish upside down and it will do a half pound. But I like to form my patty's about the same size, so they're all cooking at the same rate. And we know on that Q1200, the grates porcelain enamel cast iron, so it's going to be even across it. So I know when I put my burgers down, they'll all be going on at the same time, they're all being flipped at the same time, and they'll all be coming off. So making sure that you shape it to that 3/4 inch for the half pound, or for the half pound burger, and about 1/4 inch for your quarter pound burger. Those are the ideal sizes. That way they make sure they're cooking nice and even.
Now, I grew up cooking, right? So like my mom was a real home cook, you know, and I learned how to do everything. She always had us in the kitchen cooking with her. But watching Jeremy learn over the last, I guess, year and a half or so, he's really made an effort to learn how to actually prepare food and not just ingest it. So over the last bit of time watching him do this, I've seen the importance of that temperature taking for a newbie. Like he would say, how long? And I'm looking at him and I'm like, I don't know how many minutes to tell you. I always get the feel of it, you know, like I press it or whatever. And that, I think, took him from his fails to his wins, is when he really just got married to that temperature gauge and used that instead of the
guessing.
But
also making all the burgers the same size. I mean, I never did that.
That's true. I never owned a press in my entire life.
I mean,
life.
I would make them all different sizes and then they'd come out cooked in different ways.
Yeah.
Now, Stephanie has a cute dimple. But what is this?
Stop.
What is the steakhouse? What is
this? Kevin. Oh, my gosh.
What?
Kevin's
awkward.
Like.
What is the steakhouse dimple?
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, before I talk about the steakhouse dimple, you might have been grilling today because there is a natural pheromone in the smell of that barbecue smoke that comes off.
Getting them worked up.
That makes you more attractive. So there might be something in the air. The smoke might be in the air right now that is really highlighting that dimple.
Oh, so you're giving us relationship therapy too.
I didn't know we were going to go here, but I like it.
I'm a man of many skills. So what I would like to do is, it's an old steakhouse trick. You take your thumb, put a nice liberal thumbprint right down the center of your burger. And the great thing about that is it levels the burger off. Problem is, if we were to take that 3/4 inch burger and put that on the grill, the juices want to go, they want to pull to the inside of the burger, which if you continue to cook it and finish it, it would look somewhat like a meatball, but it would be raw on the inside, very much undercooked on the inside and overcooked on the outside. So by putting that dimple, that nice thumbprint down the center of it, it cooks in a nice 4 to 5 minutes on one side, 4 to 5 minutes on the other, and completely off the grill in about 8 to 10 minutes.
All right. Our burgers are ready to hit the grill, but we've got to take 1 second to thank our friends and sponsors at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts. We're heading there Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be grilling some burgers on the Q1200.
Right. Because, I mean, just I want everybody to know that this is the perfect type of a campground to be grilling at, right? Because what happens at a Jellystone Park, right? You go, you have these wonderful character visits, you have all of that family fun, but really what you're doing is you're like checking out of the busyness of everyday life, and you're like checking into family time. And you know, Kevin's talking about that. He's just, there's something that happens when you're cooking outside, your kids are sitting around the picnic table hassling you for food, right? They're like, I'm hungry, but you're spending time together in a way that doesn't happen a lot when you're just in your everyday life and at home. So at Jellystone, not only can you grill and have fantastic burger dinners, but you're also going to have organized activities, splash parks, pools, laser tag, and much more. We can't wait to kick off our camping season at the Mill Run Jellystone. We're going there for Memorial Day weekend, and it's just the perfect place to spend a long weekend.
I can't wait to do some cooking outside. All right, these burgers, Kevin, are ready to hit the grill. So any just basic tips on placement on the grill?
Yeah, you know, it's there's a couple of things with placement. So we're going to open up our lid. We're going to put our burgers down. Now, if you have to fill the complete grate, that's perfectly fine. What I like to do is, if I have 4 to 6 burgers on the Q1200, if I can get them on the one side of the grill, and then when I go to flip, I like to flip them to another portion of the grate that hasn't been cooked on. And the reason why is because the one side of that grate has now helped caramelize all that seasoning and flavor on the burger. And so if I were to flip it and put it right back down, that grate has cooled down a little bit. So you might not get the exact same kind of caramelization to the outside. It's still going to be really good, but if you really want to set it off, always try to flip it to a new area of the grate. And that's the other thing too. So you want to make sure you put your burgers down, get your lid closed, set your timer, and then you're going to flip it only once, That's the big thing. We're not going behind our back. We're not smashing it down and all that moisture and flavor getting out. That's where you can find the amateurs, and that's why we have large spatulas to kind of crack them over the head, the hand or the head, and tell them to get out of the way. They've lost their privileges. And then finish it up on the one side, and then it's just about time to add cheese.
Leave the burgers alone, right? Just leave them alone and let them cook.
I was the worst at that.
You were kept checking. Just that was one of the things you did first.
Yeah. Opening the grill, looking at them, talking to them,
cutting into them.
Oh, it was so bad for so long.
So many mistakes.
So, any other tips on time and temp to really nail the burger?
Well, you know, the most important thing, and I call it the three T's. You can go to four T's. Thickness of what you're going to be cooking drives the direct or indirect cooking. With the Q's, you're mostly going to be cooking direct. So it's going to be the thickness drives the technique, which is going to be direct cooking. It's going to drive the temperature you're cooking at, and it's going to drive the time that it's going to be on the grill. And no matter what you're going to be cooking, that's the methodology you want to stick to. Because if you're doing beef burgers, if you're doing turkey burgers, if you're doing, you know, a lot of people are getting into the plant-based things like Impossible Burger, which is something we've worked a little bit with. You want to make sure that you're cooking each of those proteins to the doneness temperature and the time they need to be on the grill. So it's always good beforehand, kind of get your game plan. You can always go download our Weber app. There's a ton of great information there. You know, there's a ton of great information on Weber.com that you can go to. You can always go on Instagram, follow you guys, follow me, and ask questions, you know, as much as you'd like. And usually we're pretty good at getting back to people. And that's, you know, the other thing that's good too with camping, you're outside, you're enjoying it with your family and your friends. We're going to be giving away that iGrill 2, which, you know, is a Bluetooth thermometer. You can plug it right into your burger. It'll tell you when it's done, so you really don't have to track it. You tell you 5 degrees before it's going to be done. It starts dinging. Your phone goes off. So it's another great way of having a little more fun outside with your family without really having to be stuck to the grill.
Well, okay. So then when do you add your cheese? Do you wait till it's totally to the temperature that you want, or do you have to kind of anticipate the temperature and put the cheese on first? Because I really hate it when somebody serves a cheeseburger and the cheese isn't melted. That's like a real bummer.
Yeah, that's like the biggest. It's one of those. It's almost like I just put the cheese on it right now. Just take it off. I'll find something else to put on it.
Yeah, it just doesn't even work, you know? So how do we avoid ever doing that in our entire lives?
So that's one of those, you know, a minute before it comes off the grill, that's the perfect time to put your cheese on. It's going to melt down, make it nice and gooey. And that's another, you know, for people that like toasted buns, that's another great time to do it too. So take your buns, put them down on the grate, get them crisped up a little bit, put the cheese on. Everything comes off at the same time. And then you just want to let your food rest about 3 to 4 minutes. Let some of that juice run back into it. Don't just bite into it right after it's off the grill, or you're going to start losing more moisture from it. So letting it rest a little bit is key. And then hopefully you cooked a great burger and everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, resting is difficult when you have three hungry boys that basically like rip the food right out of your hands after you make it.
Kevin, thank you so much. We really appreciate this. This was absolutely perfect. And we really hope everyone out there listening is going to make the best burgers they've ever made in their lives. I learned so much too. I'm super excited to get out there. Just a reminder to everyone, we're going to be giving away a Weber Q1200, which Stephanie and I inducted that into our Gear Hall of Fame. Yep. Last year.
Only 13 items ever to get into our Gear Hall of Fame.
We've had to own the product for 3 years and use it and abuse it. So the Weber Q just takes a, you know, it just keeps going and going and going. So we're going to give away a Weber Q1200, an iGrill, and a burger press. But you're going to have to go over to Instagram, look for the post, follow the instructions. Kevin Coleman, thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you guys so much for having us on. If you guys ever want to talk burger, steaks, dessert, or anything else about grilling, just let us know. We'll be more than willing to come on and spend some more time with you guys.
Kevin, we've got your next topic all lined up. Don't you worry.
We're ready to go. And hopefully we'll see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground, Kevin.
Yes, we will.